Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Chav Ches, and we will begin on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, 23 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Shalchai Rav Chisda Rav Nachman. Rav Chisda sent Rav Nachman the following question. Harei Amru, Chazal taught us, L'rekuva Shalish, that if somebody hits someone with his knee, he's chayiv three slon. L'beita, if he kicks him, he's chayiv five slon. And listen, kairis, for hitting somebody with a donkey saddle, the obligation is to pay shloish asrei, 13 slon. L'pandra demora, what is the halacha if somebody hits somebody else with the handle of a shovel? Or l'kfina demora, with the blade of a shovel, what is the din? The Rishonim discuss what is the basis for this payment. Some explain that this is what Chazal establishes, the proper amount that should be paid. The Nemuke Yosef, it says that in the Akuva there are three joints. If you hit with the foot, there are five toes in the foot. And with the donkey saddle, is for the 13 joints in one hand that were used to use the that the saddle was held with to hit. The Rishonim debate, what is this payment for? Rashi seems to say that the payment is for boishes, the humility, the humiliation that's caused by doing such an act. Other Rishonim seem to say that this payment includes boishes and tsar. We're going to learn the Gemara that the payment is for the boishes. Furthermore, Tosfos discusses exactly who is the person that perpetrated this crime. Some suggest that our Gemara is referring to a situation where it was done by an Onish of Yisrael, not an important person. That's when these fines were set. But if it was done by an important person, it would be much more. And others suggest perhaps just the opposite, that only if it was done by an important person is this the payment, but if it was done by not such an important person, the payment would be less. Says the Gemara, Shalach Lei, so Rav Nachman sent Rav Chisda, Chisda, Knasa Kamagbas B'Bavel, are you collecting Knas in Bavel? How, in Bavel, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, Knasas were not allowed to be collected, because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, Knas is only paid when it's in a area, Knas is only paid, only a Bezdin that Smuchin has the right to collect Knas, and this Bezdin wasn't a Bezdin of Smuchim, therefore they don't have a right to collect Knas. There is a question amongst the Paiskim, why is this considered a Knas? Amongst the Rishonim already, why is this considered a Knas? This is a set amount, as we said, for Boishes. So some explain that the definition of Knas means wherever the payment that's being extracted is not to compensate for a loss. That Nezek is a loss. Boishes doesn't involve a loss, and therefore it's considered a Knas. Others want to suggest that it's considered a Knas because it's a Milsa Tlashchicha. It was highly uncommon that somebody should be hit this way, and therefore it's considered a Knas. And the halacha is that Knas cannot be collected in Bavel. Emelei, so he asked him, tell me Gufa de Uvda Heichahava, exactly what happened around this incident. So Mefarshim tried to understand the Gemara. Here we just said that this was a situation of Knas, and since it's a situation of Knas, it shouldn't be collected in Bavel. So then why is he so anxious to know exactly what happened if it's a Knas and can't be collected in Bavel anyway? So I saw a number of answers. One answer that I saw is that the halacha is that even by a situation which is a Knas, if the person who was supposed to get the money seizes it, im tofas, if he seizes it, lo mafkina minei. So we wanted to know exactly what the rules are here to know if tfisa would be applicable. Another shot that I saw is that the halacha we learned earlier in the Masechta was that even if knas is not collected, as we just said, in Bavel, it was collected in Eretz Yisrael. And if somebody says, I'll take you to the entire Eretz Yisrael, and the other side refuses to go, then we do collect knas in Bavel, and that's why it was important to know what the rules were. A third pshat that I saw was that since sometimes if the Rabbanim, even in Chutz La'aretz, see that a knas should be instituted because the Rabbanim are concerned that people are not acting, acting appropriately, and they feel that this should be instituted, even in Bavel, then they may do it. And that was the circumstance here. So, Emelei Gufa de Hechahav, exactly what happened. Shalach Leh, so he said, Tahuga Gusa de Beitrei, there was a water hole that was owned by two people in partnership, that they had the following arrangement. Every day a different one of these two partners would draw the water from that water hole. And one of them came and took water on a day that wasn't his. So he said to him, this is my day. And the other partner refused to pay attention. So he took the handle of a shovel, and he struck him with it. So now we need to know, Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to him, Meya pande bepande lemachye, he is allowed to hit his partner even 100 times with the shovel's handle, because afil lemanda omer lo ovet inishtin lenafshe, even if a person, according to the opinion, that one is not allowed to take the law in his own hand, but mokim pseida, however, where it's a situation where there's a loss involved, of it inishtin lanafshe, and here there's a loss involved, the money that he would have had, the water that he lost. And as we now, Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach, begin the sugya of a when may a person take the law into his own hand, and when may a person not do that, it's important to put the issue in perspective. The Rishonim, the Mordechai, already in helping us in introducing the sugya, says that our Gemara's discussion is only in a situation where I have something to lose here and now. The halach is, there's a question if I'm allowed to take the law into my own hand. But let's say someone owes me money, and the person's refusing to pay the money he owes me. There certainly we don't say Ovid Inishtin Lanafshe. Go to Din Taira and try to collect what is owed to you. Furthermore, the Paiskim discuss in understanding our Gemara, that it's only in a situation where the person who's wronging me is doing it with intent. The Masham, for example, discusses a shaila where someone's animals were coming into my property and damaging it. And the question is, am I allowed to put out the poison to prevent them from coming to kill them? And certainly, since this damage is not being done intentionally, it's being done by the animals, it's not a situation where I am allowed to do it. Our Gemara is referring to a situation, point out the Paiskim, again, where it's being done, where I believe somebody is wronging me intentionally. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that even if we're going to discuss, as we will be discussing Beis Hashem Yisbarach, when may somebody take the law into his hand, when may somebody not do that, certainly say to Paiskim that lying, to say something which is not true, is certainly never permitted, even if I feel I'm being wronged. Ditmar, because we have this machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, loy ovet inishtin l'nafshe, a person is not allowed to take the law into his own hand. Rav Nachman Omer, ovet inishtin l'nafshe, a person can take the law into his own hand. Says the Gemara, hechadik pseida, where there's loss involved, Kulam loy pligi, everybody agrees, the ovid inish dinu l'navshei. A person could take the law into his own hand. Ki pligi, when is the machlokes of Nachman and Rabbi Yehuda? Hecha the lekka pseida, where there is no loss involved. Rabbi Yehuda holds loy ovid inish dinu l'navshei, a person can't take the law into his own hand. The kivin, the lekka pseida, since there's no loss involved, Lazel Kamedina. Let him go to a judge. He has no right to take the law into his own hand. Nachman Ovid Inishdin Lanafshay, he has the right to take the law into his own hand. The Kivin the Bedin Ovid, since what he's doing is correct, Loi Torach, we don't require him to go to a Din Torah. However, based on this Gemara, points out already the Rosh, that the only time I could take, even according to Rav Nachman, the law into my own hands, is in a situation where I'm convinced that if I would go to Din Torah, I would prevail in the Din Torah. But if I can't be sure that I will prevail in the Din Torah, then the halacha is that I can't take the law into my own hand. Because as Rabbi Chanan Wasserman explains this psak, he says, the reason why a person is allowed to take the law into his own hand is because he becomes a shliach bezdin. He becomes a extension of the court. And therefore, only in a situation where the court would let me prevail, do I have the right to ovid inish din l'nafshei. Otherwise, I do not have that right. Moser Rav Kahana asked the Gemara of Yehuda, Ben Bagbag says, the Mefarshim explain, why was he called Ben Bagbag? Because he was a descendant, he was a child of Gerim. And in that there are two pshatim. One pshat is that we know that the first Gerim were Avraham and Sarah. Avraham and Sarah were two individuals that had a hey added to their name. Avraham was originally Avram, Sarah was originally Sarai, and became Avraham and Sarah. Bag is the gematria of hay. Another pshat is that my Bag, not only was he the child of Gerim, but both of his parents were Gerim, his father and his mother. Ben Bagbag, Ben Ger, Ben Giyos. Ben Bagbag Oimer. You're not allowed to go into your neighbor's yard, even to take something which belongs to you without asking permission. Because you may look like a ganav. You could break his teeth and say to him, Shali ani noitel. So we see from here that a person has the right to take the law into his own hand, breaking his teeth. But it's interesting to note that even though our Gemara is saying that somebody has a right to take the law into his own hand to the degree that he could break somebody else's teeth, we still see that he's not allowed to enter someone else's property surreptitiously. That is a question of Maris Ayin, and that is prohibited. In fact, I saw an interesting Shaila. There was a situation where somebody was taken advantage by a taxi driver. He went into a taxi. The taxi overcharged him considerably. But where he was being left off was a dangerous area, and he had to pay the taxi driver. He was scared to start up, but he wanted to get his money back. So what he did was he reserved that taxi again, and that taxi to drive him to wherever. The taxi came and drove him and dropped him off, and he told the taxi driver, I'm getting out for a couple of moments and I'm coming back. He never came back. And he said he did it because of Adina Lanafshe. He had no other way of recouping his loss. Say the Paiskim that is Osir. Because as far as the taxi driver is concerned, he looks like a ganef. The taxi driver doesn't know he's doing this because he cheated him. And Al Gemara is teaching us that to do something which will involve Maris Ayin, that I'm doing the wrong thing, is never permitted. So the question is, here we clearly see that Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe defends his position of Yehuda. Amalei, Imach, is this a valid challenge to your opinion? Ben Bagbag Yechidahi, Ben Bagbag is only the opinion of one individual. Upligi Rabbanalei, and the Rabbanan disagree, and I'm following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Mefarash should point out, why did the Gemara say Ben Bagbag Yichidohi? The Gemara should have said that I'm following the opinion of the Rabbanim. So the Mefarash answer, since we don't see explicitly that the Rabbanim disagree with Ben Bagbag, it's only that we find the Ben Bagbag says it and no one else says it, so the Gemara didn't want to say that I'm following the opinion of the Rabbanim, since we can't identify where the Rabbanim said this. Rabbi Yana tries to give a different teretz. Maishvar Shinov Bedin. It doesn't mean that I, the person who has a claim, has a right to break his teeth. It means I could take him to the Taira and the Dayanim, so to speak, will break his teeth. Says the Gemara, Yehachi Ve'emeloi. So if it's the Dayanim that are talking to him, it shouldn't say Ve'emeloi. The proper wording should be the Dayanim say to him. Furthermore, What does it say? Shaliani noitel. It's not the dayanim. It's not the dayanim's item. It's the item of the person who claims that he was taken advantage. Shalaihu noitel mibaylei. Kasha. Therefore, Rabbi Yana's explanation is difficult to understand. So the Gemara tries to bring a proof to Rav Nachman's opinion that one may take the law into his own hand. Toshma. Shosh ala gaba chaver lahargoy. If an axe went on top of another axe with the intent to kill him. And the owner of the bottom axe pulled out his axe from under the attacker, and the upper axe passes away, he's potter, my love. Isn't this price referring to a situation removed? So even if I didn't take out my animal, I wouldn't have a loss, the lack of pseida, because the halacha is that if a muad attacks an axe, I'm entitled to nezek sholim. Yet the brisa says that even though there's no loss involved, I'm allowed to take the law into my own hands. So isn't this a proof that somebody's allowed to take the law into his own hands? Says the Gemara, loy, it's talking about betam, where the animal that's attacking me is a tam, dikip seder, where there's a loss involved if my axe were killed. Ask the Gemara, ihachi, if we're explaining that we're referring to a tam, and that's why I'm allowed to pull out my axe to save it. So let's understand the sefer, doch v'la'el yon v'meis. The sefer says that if instead of pulling out the bottom axe, what I did was I pushed off the upper axe, chayiv, then I'm chayiv. V'betam, if the brice is referring to a tam, and I'm doing it to save my animal, because I'm not going to be able to collect more than chatzi nezek, so my chayiv. And Taisus has a beautiful way of understanding the Gemara. Taisus says, if we were saying that the brice is referring to a muad, where I'm going to be entitled to collect nezek sholem anyway, so then we can understand why I have to think and be careful not to do something to completely kill the axe that's attacking my axe. But if we're referring to a situation of a tam, where my axe is going to get killed, and I'm only going to be able to collect chatzi nezek, so shouldn't I have a right to do anything? I can't be expected to think at such a point. Answers the Gemara, Shayolei l'shamtev l'shamtei. And again, we follow Tosfos' explanation. Yes, I have a right to pull out my bottom axe, my axe that's being attacked, and not leave it to chance. But even in such a circumstance, a person's not allowed to lose his head. And a person has to do it in a way that will cause as little damage as possible. And by pushing off the upper axe, I may kill the upper axe. I have no right to do that. I should pull out the bottom axe, and saying that it's a tam, and saying that I couldn't think, I didn't have the presence of mind to think, is not acceptable. In fact, the Tshuvas HaRosh, based on this Gemara, says, points out the following halacha. If somebody without permission uses his friend's vessel to support his lopsided barrel, the owner of the vessel is entitled to remove his vessel without notifying his friend, since it was taken without permission. However, says the Rosh, that he has no right to damage the barrel by allowing it to topple. Rather, he must support the barrel with a stone before removing his vessel, just as the owner of the axe may not needlessly cause injury when trying to save his axe. However, says the Sma, that the two cases are not really similar. He says the owner of the axe in our case is justified if he pulls his axe out from under the attacker, and he's not required to gently remove the attacking axe. Whereas the owner of the vessel is chayiv if he just slips out his vessel from under the barrel without replacing it with a stone. And the Sma explains his distinction. In the case of the axe, one is not expected to take extra precautions at a time when he is excited and nervous about losing his axe, and therefore he has a right to pull out his axe. However, in the case of the vessel, there's no great pressure, and therefore he has no right to do it, only in a way that he should make sure that the vessel should not be hurt, should not be broken. Toshma. If somebody fills up his friend's courtyard with barrels of wine and hot oil, the owner of the courtyard can break them and go out, break them and go in. So this price seems to prove that one can take the law into his own hand, because he has a right to break it, to break these things going in and out. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Meshabev Yoitz LeBezdin. What it means is that I only have a right to break the barrels in order that I should be able to go to Bezdin to make my claim. Or Meshabev Nichnas, I only have a right to break the barrels in order that I should be able to get into my home to get the deed that I'll need for the Din Torah to prove, Lov Yizich Yosef, that this is indeed my courtyard and this person had no right to fill up my courtyard with his barrels. It's interesting to note, again, Taisus helps us understand the Gemara very beautifully. Taisus says, in the previous Gemara, the Gemara said that if an axe is attacking my axe, I have to make sure to pull out the bottom one, not push off the upper one. Says Taisus, in our case, even though the Bryce is clearly teaching us that I have to be careful, that I have no right just to go break the barrels, the Bryce does not require, says Tosfos, that I have to arrange the barrels, take the barrels and arrange them, stack them one on top of the other. That far, if you put something in my property without permission, I'm not obligated to do. Toshma. Menayin l'nitza shekol lo yomav. How do we know that a nirtza, an eved ivri, who accepted to remain past the 6 years, but only remains until yovel? When yovel comes, the rabbi masarv by lot says, and his owner urges him, now it's time to leave. The chavav asa b'chabura, and he wounds him in trying to get him to leave. Shu potter, that the owner is potter. Tamalaim la sucha kaifa lochshav. And the explanation of the pasuk is l'suchu kaifalashav, that even if the owner used force to make the nirtza leave, he's not liable for injuring the eved. So we see that somebody is allowed to take the law into his own hands, even when he causes damage. So before we go further, the Chedusha Harim asks, that isn't our Gemara? Can we say in our Gemara just the opposite? The fact that the Pasuk gives him a right to do damage is a proof that in this case, and this case alone, he has a right to do damage in no other situation. Answers the Chedush Harim, that really this Braisa is teaching us two rules. It's teaching us that if the owner causes damage to the Eved when he pushes him out, he's not financially responsible. But actually, it's also teaching us another rule, that he's allowed to hit him. Now, that the Basuk doesn't say. The Bryce is saying that he's allowed to hit him. But one Jew is not allowed to hit another Jew. The fact that the Bryce allows the owner to hit his Eved is a proof that somebody's allowed to take the law into his own hands. Says the Gemara, Hachemai Skinen, the Bryce is referring to a situation, Ba'av de Ganva. With Eved is a ganav, and therefore, if he can't leave the Eved with him, because he'll steal from him. Ask the Gemara. It's interesting. Ara idna loy ganav. Till now he wasn't a ganav. Vahashto ganav, and now he became a ganav. Says the Gemara, that's not the case. Certainly, there was a concern all along that he was a ganef. However, at Idna, till now he was an Eved. And therefore, Hava Emsa the Rabbi L.A., he was scared of his owner, and that deterred him from stealing. Hashta Lesle Emsa the Rabbi L.A., now he no longer has that fear, and therefore the fact that he's a ganef is a much greater concern. Rav Huna by Yitzchak Amar, it's referring to a case, Be'evit Shemassel Rabbi Shifcha Kananis, that the owner gave this Eved, Shifcha Kananis, to be as a wife, which an Eved Ivri is allowed to live with a Shifcha Kananis, but only as long as he's an Eved Ivri. So Ahidna, that he was an Eved Ivri Hatera, he was allowed to live with her, and therefore there was no problem. Hashti Surah. Now he may no longer live with him. And since he may no longer live with her, the owner is being mafresh her from Isser. The owner is separating her by hitting him. So from here we see, point out the Paiskim, that lafrusha misura, and to separate a person from doing an aveira, a person is even allowed to hit. But the question that the Mefarshim ask is that the Shach says that the din that one is allowed to even hit someone in order lafrusha lasura is only by a person that's doing an aveira b'shoigig. Furthermore, the Yamsha Shloimeh says only by a person who's mukhsa b'kashus, we know always acts properly. Here, this Eved is living with the Shifcha b'mezid, and he's certainly not an Odom kosher. So there is no heter according to the Shach to hit a person lafrushim isura under such circumstances. So the Paiskim answer that although normally it's not mutter, here, since the Eved is under, to some degree, the control of the owner, it's not the regular situation, and therefore, and moreover, he's doing an Aveira with the Shivcha that's owned by the owner, and the owner has a responsibility to see that a Shivcha doesn't do Aveira. That's why here, the Halacha is that he's allowed to even hit the Eved in order lafrushe miyisura. Continues the Gemara. Toshma. And this is, as the Rishonim explained, how this sugya came into our Gemara. We bring up our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Hamnich zakad b'shus rabim, if somebody puts a picture in the b'shus rabim, or ba'ach v'niskel bav shavra, and another person comes along and stumbles over it and breaks it, potter. Then the person who stumbled is potter. Tama. The reason, as Rishonim explained, we explained in our Mishnah, Rav explained in our previous year, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation, the Malach Hatzera Chavius, where the person, where Malach Rishus Rabbim Chavius, where somebody filled up the entire Rishus Rabbim with barrels. And yet, the Mishnah is teaching us, only Tama the Niskaba, only because I stumbled on it and I broke it, am I Potter, Hashavar, if I would deliberately break it, I would be Chayiv. If this person filled up the retired Rishus Rabbim with barrels, so shouldn't I be allowed to take the law into my own hands? Answers the Gemara. Amar Azvid Mishmei the Rava, as we learned yesterday. Really, according to Rav, Huadin Afilu Shavar. The same halacha would be even if he broke it deliberately. So why did Tani Niskal? So why did the Mishnah refer to a situation of Niskal? Because I did the boiler Mishnah Sefer. Since we learned in the Sefer of our Mishnah, in Huzak Bal Chavis Chai B'Niskoi, that if the person walking the street tripped on this pitcher and got hurt, the owner of the pitcher is responsible. And there, as we explain, Dafka Niskal, only if he stumbled would the owner of the pitcher be responsible. Avil Shavar, but let's say this person deliberately broke the pitcher, and in the course of deliberately breaking the pitcher, he would get hurt, then loy. The owner of the pitcher would not be responsible. Because who? Azik Anafshe. He brought the damage upon himself. That's why, Ketani Reisha Niskal, that's why the Reisha also speaks about a case of Niskal. Toshma. The pasuk says, "V'katzoisa es kapa." This is the pasuk that teaches us the halacha of boishes. And the pasuk is referring to a case where somebody is attacking someone's husband, and she touches the attacker's private parts. The pasuk says her punishment is the katsoisa es kapa, her hand should be cut off, and we say mumin, that it's referring that she has to pay for the boishes that she did. My laugh isn't referring to a case. There's no other way of saving a husband besides attacking his private parts. If the halachi is over inish dina lanafshei, then why can't she attack him? And in fact, some rishonim say that this Gemara's question is a question of both opinions. Because even the opinion that holds that a person is ain't of an inish din al nafshay, a person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands. But we explained that when there's no other choice, but mokum dikum pseida, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. So why isn't this such a situation? But the Rishonim ask, this concept of out of an inish din al nafshay, a person can take the law into his own hands, is only for the person who is being affected. Here it's the wife. Why is that not in it? Why would there even be a havamina that this is in the category of ovid inish din lanafshei, a person could take the law into their own hands? So Farshim say, since we say ishta kegufoi, by ishta, so she's considered like his own wife. Another pshat that they say, this halacha that we say ovid inish din lanafshei is only when the person himself is being affected, and not anyone else could take the law in his own hands for someone else. That's in a regular case, like we spoke about, where there's a financial issue on the table. But where there's a situation like we're discussing now, where somebody's being attacked, certainly to protect someone who's being attacked, there, the halacha is that anyone, not only the person being attacked, may take the law into his own hands. So, if it's referring that to a situation that she, there's no other way of getting the attacker away, why is it usur? And why does the Torah say she has to pay boishes? So the Gemara, no, she could have saved him in another way, and therefore, since she could have saved him in another way, she has no right to do it in this embarrassing way. Avo, what would be the halacha now, says the Gemara? If there was no other way of saving her, saving him, the halacha would be ptura, that she would be exempt. She didn't do anything wrong. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the way to understand the Braisa, add the Tani Sefer. The Sefer of that Braisa says, V'sholch yodo prat l'shlich bezdin. A shlich bezdin has a right to embarrass someone that's not listening to what he said. So ask the Gemara, Lifnik v'lisnabdida, why do we have to bring the case of a Shliach Bezdin? We should say, B'med v'mamurim, when is the halacha that she's not allowed to do what she did? K'shichoy l'hatzel, adei davacher, which she could have saved him in another way. Aveni chatzel adei davacher, but if she had no other choice, even she's ptur, she's exempt, she didn't do anything wrong. Says the Gemara, Chinami kama. That is indeed the pshat of the Braisa. The Braisa is saying, when is the halacha that she's liable, where she had other options? If she had no other options, she's considered like the shliach bezdin and petura, and she's not liable. Toshma. So Gemara tries to bring from the a proof from the following Mishnah. There was a public path going through his field. For notla, he takes away that path. For noslam menatzad, and he gives them another path. The halacha is masha nosan nosan. What he's done is effective. He's not allowed to take back his own path. He's not allowed to take back the new path. However, v'shaloi lo higiyoi, he can't prevent the people from walking on the old path. Ask the Gemara, the amrit of it in ishtinel anafshei, if a person can enforce the law. In other words, we're saying that the new path he's given is not acceptable, or linked passive elasive. Why can't he sit on the original path and with a stick, and anybody who walks by, he should prevent from walking by? The fact that the Mishnah says that he's not allowed to do that is a proof that a person can't take the law into his own hand. But before we go into this Braisa, this Gemara, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, we have a fundamental question. What's happening here? The Rabbim, the public has a path through my field, and the Gemara is considering that I should be allowed to move it. How could the Gemara even have such? What's going on here? So the Shita explains the Gemara in a very beautiful way. It's not that the Rabbim own this path in my field. If they actually own a path in my field, I can't just make unilateral decisions that they could come, they could go. Rather, the situation here is that they have a right to walk through, to get to the other side by walking through my field. And I decide that I don't want them to walk through the path that they were used to. They should walk through a new path. And if that's acceptable, and I have the right to do it, as the Brisa seems to suggest, so why ask the Gemara, can't I prevent them from going through, from going back to the original path? Chazal made this Gezeira because they were concerned that I'm not going to give them a better path. Therefore, I can't prevent them from using the original path because it still belongs to them. It's actually that I gave them a path. This new path is not as good as the old path. And Rav Ashi Amar, and as Rishonim explained, Rav Ashi's explanation, it's really the same concept as Rav Shasha. Whenever I give a new path, by definition, it's not going to be as good as the original path. Because it's closer for one person, but it's further for another. For some people, the new path will be out of their way, and for some people, it will be closer, and I have no right to do it. So according to Rav Sharshia and Rav Ashi, it's only not effective when I indeed gave them a worse path. According to Rav Ashi, it's always going to be that way, or according to Rav Sharshia, not necessarily. According to Rav Zvid, it's not that I necessarily gave them a worse path. Because I may end up giving them a worse path, it's not going to be acceptable. But now the Rishonim ask, so the original path should go back, and Beis Din should say that take back the original path, and the new path, the second path, should come back to me. That's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara seems to be saying that both paths belong to the Rabbim. And Cain, asked the Gemara, Amai Shaloi Lo Yigiyoi, why does he not have a right to take back the new path? Lemlu, Shkulu Tidchu, take back the original path, Vavul Didi, and give me back my path. Answers the Gemara, Mishum Rav Yehuda. Dom Rav Yehuda, Meisa Shazik by Rabbim, if the Rabbim made a chazok, did an act of kinyan on a path, Osla Kalkaloi, I can't take it back. And since they already took it, albeit that I should have never set up such a situation, but once such a situation was created, I can't undo it. And the Rishonim explained the reason being, because we can't expect the Beis Din to change the habits of the Rabbim. Toshma, Balabayis Shaniach Pei Mitzar Echad. If the owner of a field left Peah on one side of his field, Uba Anim Enot Mitzar Echad, and Anim came and took from the other side. Zevzev Peah. Both of them are considered Peah. Ask the Gemara, Vi Amrit of it in Ishtinel Nafshei, if we say that a person allowed to take the law into his own hand, Amai Vizev Zepeah, why are both Peah? Litna Pizra Velasiv, let him take a stick and stop the people from taking the section that he originally designated as Peah. Amar Rava, so explains Rava, Mai Zev Zepeah, Lepachman Amaisa. Certainly, they're not allowed to take Peah from both sides. What it means is, since the halach is that Peah is potter from Maisa, Machloikis Rashi and Taisus, why? Rashi explains that Peah is potter from Maisa because Peah is considered Hefker. Taisus doesn't agree because Taisus says that since Peah is only for poor people, it's Hefker Laniyim Veloy Lashirim, and something which is only Hefker Laniyim is not considered Peah. Taisva says that there's another reason, since even Levim are allowed to take pay when they're poor, so it's potter from Maisa. And that's what the Gemara says, that they both are considered peya in order that it should be part of a maisa. Ketanya hamafkes kamay. If somebody declares his vineyard hefker veheshkim abayke batzroy, and then he takes it, so he's going to be chay beperet ba'olus b'shichur peya. But since it became hefker, it will remain part of a maisa even if he reclaims it. There's machlokes here too of Rashi and Tosfos. What does the reclaiming need to be in order that it should be chayiv and parrot oil shikha and peya? From Rashi it seems that even if he just reclaims the fruit, he'll be chayiv and parrot oil shikha and peya. According to Tosfos, he has to actually reclaim the land and then he'll be chayiv and parrot oil shikha and peya. Says the Mishnah, Nishbar kadu b'shus rabim. If somebody's pitcher broke in the Rishus Rabbim, V'ruchalak ech b'mayim, another person slipped on the water, or shalaka b'charsis, or he was injured by a piece of from the broken pitcher, chayiv, the owner of the pitcher is chayiv. Yudai b'miskavim chayiv, he's only chayiv when he did it with intent, v'she'enim miskavim, but without intent, he's potter. Before we begin the Gemara, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, we need to speak about two machloikas. One, both of them very fundamental machloikas in the mazik abor. One is regarding what is the mazik abor. Rav says l'havloi v'loi l'chaftoi, that the mazik abor is only that there's ear, bare ear, so to speak, suffocating ear in the bor. That's what is the chi of a bor, but not for somebody falling and hitting the ground of the bor. Shmuel says that even chaftoi is included in the mazik abor. And then there's another very fundamental machloikis, what is considered a bor? According to some tanoim, a bor is even if somebody was mafkur boiroi, the bor is completely not his, it's still considered a bor. And other tanoim hold, it's only if he was mafkur Rishusoi v'loi boiroi, that the bar is in a place which is not his anymore, but the bar still belongs to him. But if it was also mafka the bar, it's not considered the mazik a bar. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav, loy shano. The owner of pitcher is only chayif, el shetim fe kele b'mayim, only when the victim's clothes became dirty because of this water. Avahu atzmai, if the victim himself was slipped on the ground and hurt himself, potter. Because as we said before, according to Rav, bor is not when somebody hurts himself by the ground. And here, by hurting himself on the ground, it's kaka oilam hizikasoi, and it's not bor. Says the Gemara, kamrita kamei Shmuel, when this explanation was given over to Shmuel, omeli, michti, avnei sakino masoi, the halacha is that somebody is chayiv if a stone, knife, or packet hurt somebody. We learn it, mibayir lamadno. The kulani karbehen, in all these cases I say the rule is, shar v'loi adam, chamar v'loi kelim. That the only thing you chayiv for by a bar is for your animal, not for a person getting hit, and not for kelim getting hurt. V'hani mili, and that's only linya ketola, if the damage resulted in death. Avalin yinazakim, if the fall resulted in damage, adam v'chayiv v'kelim paturim. So, in this case, it can't be we're speaking about a case where the water from the pitcher damaged the clothing, because those are kelim. And kelim, we're learning now, are potter from bar. V'rav, and Rav will answer, when is it considered a bar? Hechadafkarinu. When you were mafkar, as I said before, the entire area. Aval hechadalayafkarinu. Our mission is referring to a case where he wasn't mafkarit, and since he wasn't mafkarit, memainahu. It's in the category of shar mazik, not bar hamazik. Master Rav Aishia, Sir Aishia asked, the Pasuk says, V'nafal shama shar hamar, shar v'lay adam. We just said that Allah, we learn regarding the mazik abar, shar v'lay adam, chamar v'lay kelim. That the chi of a bar is not on an adam and not on kelim. And the Meshech Chachma, this is going to be a halach that we're going to be discussing many times, so it's important to set why. The Meshech Chachma helps us to understand. He says a person should be careful not to fall into a bor. Furthermore, the kalim of a person, he watches, and therefore a person should watch that his kalim should not fall in a bor. However, the Torah was particularly concerned about animals that do wander by themselves and don't have somebody to watch out for them, that they will be held responsible if they fell into a bor. Bikal amr, nafa l'toicha shor v'kelof v'nishtabru, if somebody's shor and kalim fell into a bor and they break, chamar v'kelof v'niskaru, or a donkey with its utensils fall into a pit and the utensils tear, chayav al behema, he's chayav on the behema, or pata al kalim, but he's pata on the kalim. What is this comparable? Ask the Gemara at the Rabba. It seems that we're comparing bor to avnas sekina masoi. Really, the Brisa should have said that avnas sekina masoi are learned from bor. It says the Gemara, indeed, that's the way to understand it. We learn from the halacha bor what will be the halacha by avnas sekina masoi that were left in Rishus Rabbim. Lefikach, continues the Brisa, in metiach tzlusa be'evin, if somebody's flask was were banged against the stone that was left in the Rishus Harabim, and the stone and the thing broke, Chayiv, the owner of the stone, is liable. Ask the Gemara Reisha, the first part of the Brayis is Kash L'Rav, is a question to Rav, because according to Rav, something left in the Rishus Harabim that was not declared Hefker is considered Shor, and yet the Brisa considers this bor. And Sefer Kash L'Shmul, because the Sefer says that it seems to have the din of Shor, and that's why if it breaks Kalim Yechayiv, yet according to Shmul it has the din of bor, and you should be potter on Kalim. Asked Gemara, instead of asking this question, we could have asked a simpler question. L'tamech tikshli gufa reisha potter. The first Brisa tells us that you're potter by damaging kalim, the sefer chayiv, and the sefer says you chayiv by kalim. How do we reconcile the Brisa itself? Ella says the Gemara, Rav matarisol tamei, b'Shmuel matarisol tamei. Rav explains the Brisa according to his opinion, and Shmuel explains the Brisa according to his opinion. Rav matarisol tamei, b'med dvar amurim. What is the Brisa referring to? Kishif kiron, only if the person declared the area Hefker, so it has the din of a bar, and since it has the din of the bar, you part the bakalim. Avaloy of kirin, if you weren't mafker them, chayiv, because then it has the din of shor. Fikach, since if you weren't mafker it, it has the din of shor, the halach will be, hetiach slusasa ba'evin, you'll be chayiv, because you're always chayiv by shor. Vishmu matasal tamei. Hash the amrit avna sekino masoi kibari dami. Dan was saying that they have the din of a bar. Rabbi Yehuda says the Gemara, says Shmuel, this price reflects the opinion of Yehuda. The Mechayiv al Niske Kael Mabar, that says that Yechayiv by Kael Mabar, Fikach, Avnes Kinem Asoi, according to Shmuel, have the status of Bar, even though you weren't Mafka them. And therefore, Hitich Slusosabe Evan, it's going to be a situation of Bar, and according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Bar, you will be Chayiv. Amar Belazar, says Rabbi Belazar, Loi Shanu, that when is the halacha that the owner of the stone has to pay for this flask? The person carrying the flask stumbled on the stone, and then the flask was not against the stone. If somebody stumbled on the ground, and then his flask banged against the stone, potter. Command the Lord Reb Nosson. Because we're going to learn later in the Masechta, the Reb Nosson says that if two mazikim contributed to a hezek, if the owner of one doesn't pay, we collect from the other one. So here, since you don't collect from the bor karka, you should collect from the owner of the stone. The brice that says that your potter doesn't obviously follow the opinion of Reb Nosson, which as Rishonim says, the point of the Gemara is because the halacha does follow Rav Nosson's opinion. Ikad Amri, Not only in a case where the person stumbled on the stone and they had the flask break against the stone, are you chayiv? If somebody stumbled on the ground and banged against the evan, you would be potter. You would be chayiv. Because even if you can't collect from the bar is not chayiv on kalim, you'll collect from the karka, which is bar, you can't collect. You'll collect from the evan, because it follows the opinion of Reb Nosson that if you can't collect from one masik, you collect from the other.